Hello and welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we are doing a client interview with Katie. Hello, what's up? Welcome to the podcast. I'm very excited for you to listen to this interview today with my client, Katie. It's so fun. You're going to love it. I do want to say before we dive in that I'm doing a workshop on Monday on how to stop nitpicking. You want to go grab your spot over at relationshipanxiety.com/workshop. It's totally free. This masterclass is going to be amazing. So make sure you go grab your seat before it happens. Replays will be available, but you're going to want to come live if you can, because there's going to be some fun things for those that are there live. So again, it's this upcoming Monday, how to stop nitpicking, secrets to stop nitpicking, relationshipanxiety.com/workshop. Go save your spot. And without further ado, here is my interview with the lovely Katie. Hello, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mikkel. Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Doing well.
So before we hit record, Katie and I were talking about she is currently in the process of wedding planning. And we were talking about all the things and the dress and everything. And I wish I hit record because I'm so excited for you guys to hear what Katie has to share and her story. So we're excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Mikkel. I'm super excited to be here.
So do you want to start off with kind of just telling everyone a little bit about your story and experience with relationship anxiety, ROCD, and even just like you mentioned, just OCD in general?
Sure. Yes. Just a broad overview. I'm in my mid to late 30s. So I'm in the northeastern part of the United States. And I come from a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. It's a huge part of my life. Which that'll come into play a little bit later in our conversation, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But since I'm in my 30s, I have had quite a lot of years under my belt in regards to anxiety, OCD, relationship anxiety, all of the above. So when I was in my late teens, like 19 or 20 in college, that's when it's kind of started manifesting itself. And I had absolutely no idea what was going on, as I'm sure we all had no idea. But it started manifesting as like some of the other forms of OCD, like the harm OCD or the sexual orientation OCD, mm-hmm. just anxiety in general. I mean, I was, you know, an anxious kid, a worrier, had a big sensitive heart. So, but it really manifested itself in college, where I went through quite a few years of it, not knowing what it was, had a hard time talking about it because I felt like it was taboo. Or if I were to speak the things that were on my brain, I just thought people might, you know, think that I was crazy so it took a long time for me to actually start talking about it with trusted people. Once I did, I started to experience some healing, but it did take time. But and
just to pause you real quick, because I love that you share that with everyone, because it's something I really haven't spoken too much on the podcast, mm-hmm. but it's definitely an experience a lot of people have, is like OCD has so many different forms that can come in. And I think relationship OCD, I know for me, and I've heard from other people, I think a lot of times can kind of be this pinnacle point of like just the building of all of this like internal worry and anxiety, but it can start from like a younger age. And like, I know for me, it was very similar of like, honestly, even like as early as elementary school, like different themes, like you were describing. Yeah. And I guess for those listening that maybe aren't even familiar with like, and I don't know if I can explain it as well, but I think it could be helpful for them to know is kind of like harm OCD and sexual orientation OCD, like is basically, it's just kind of obsessing over thoughts around hurting or getting hurt, harming someone, sexual orientation, obsessing over, and this actually can bleed into relationship OCD a lot, but mm-hmm. am I straight? Am I gay? And really obsessing over that.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I just want to highlight that because I think that's so, I love that you share that, because that is such a common part of people's experiences and stories, that OCD can just kind of shift forms and manifest in so many different ways like that.
And it helps seeing that it's a pattern. You may be listening to this and you just have ROCD and you've only ever had, ROCD, and that's totally fine. But some of us can look back and be like, wow, I've seen how it's almost like a game of like whack-a-mole, like it was this when I was a teenager, then it turned into this and turned into this. And it kind of shows you that it's not necessarily the thoughts that are the problem. It's more the worry and the anxiety and what's behind it and driving it. That's the issue.
Yes.
So that's kind of why I share it, just to show that, it's taken different forms over my whole life. And when it has hit the ROCD, that's when I really started reaching out for help. So.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sorry. So I just wanted to pause to highlight that. Love that you share that. So you paused with, I interrupted you with, said you were in college and started talking to people about it and found some healing. And then maybe you can kind of share more where you started noticing it show up more in that form of ROCD specifically.
Sure. Yeah. So when I went back in, when I was in college, I was like 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago or so, there weren't a lot of resources out there, unfortunately. So in regards to ROCD or, relationship anxiety or any of the other forms of OCD. So I think, thankfully, in this day and age, there's been so much more out there, which is amazing, and it's wonderful and something to take advantage of. But I had a broken engagement about 10 years ago, and it was in the midst of all of my other OCD struggles. So looking back, it's like, of course it wouldn't have survived. obviously I'm, believe God's in control, and that's how, it was supposed to happen. But I had a lot of healing to do personally after my general struggle with OCD and anxiety. And I think God gave me a few years of healing under my belt. And then I noticed, I guess in my 30s or so, I would date a lot. I would date and then would end it within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back now, it was as soon as things got tough, like at the 3 month mark, you're most likely having you're reaching some bumps in the road with each other or so. And it was right on the 3 month mark that I found that I would kind of like, oh, this must not be right. And I kind of could tell that I was like almost like a chronic dater.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like that about myself. I felt terrible. I didn't want to be that type, but I found myself doing that more and more. And then I guess it wasn't until was with my fiance, we've been together a year and a half now, that I said almost to myself was like, enough's enough. Like I could see a pattern in my life.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many more resources out there that I could identify with. That I was like, this is me. I fit this. I can see myself as this type of a person, who might really struggle. Like, what if this is just anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the point where I was just ready to take, I guess, a chance. And that's how kind of I came across you, Mikkel. So,
I want to highlight, I love a few things I love hearing about your story that I think are really cool. It's, some people haven't had the experience of being in multiple relationships and mm-hmm. witnessing ROCD surface again and again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it can be so tempting, whether I guess in one relationship for a while or multiple, to just assign like, oh, it's the relationship, it's the partner, right? And to jump. And so it's so interesting, like just you kind of being able to step back and see the pattern, like you were saying, because when we're so like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with this relationship, and we're so hyper-focused on the partner and our problems, we miss that chance to do that deeper healing.
Right.
Versus what you said of stepping back and noticing like, hey, there's a pattern here. Yeah. And then that like conscious choice you made of like, I'm going to work through this and figure it out.
Yes. Yes. It was so obvious there's a pattern that it was like, I have to for myself and for him, see what's underneath this.
Yeah.
It was so obvious to me that there was, a pattern like that. So,
Yeah. And I
yeah.
think it shows like some cool awareness on your part, because I think that like sometimes like it takes a while for us to get to that point of being willing to acknowledge that we're the problem, right? Versus blaming our partner is a lot easier to do, right?
For sure. And this, it did take me a while. I'm in my mid-30s and here I am,
Sure on it, or think it happened in a certain way.
It's crazy. I know, like I know I say like I'm in mid-30s, but I feel still so young. So I feel like such a kid at heart. And
You
all
look so young, honestly. Like you, like I was very surprised when you told me how old you were.
And I keep saying mid-30s, but I'm really on the other end of the getting closer to the upper 30s, so I'm just gonna say mid. But so I mean, each of our journey obviously is different, but I don't know. I mean, God, I had a specific plan, for my life, and I needed these years for it to unravel and for me to see a pattern. I was in disbelief, or I even had anxiety about my anxiety. Is it really anxiety, or am I just
Right.
fooling myself, for so many years? And when your nervous system is on such like high alert all the time and for years on end, it takes a long time for it to settle. And I think God gave me a many years for it to kind of like settle down and get back to normal. And healing for me wasn't, is it linear, like, straight up. It was ups and downs and all arounds and a very slow, increase over time. And he knew what I needed and what I could handle. And so, for me, I struggled with anxiety, not ROCD generally, but anxiety, OCD symptoms from when I was 19 to about 26. So that's like 7 years. And it was intense at times.
Yeah.
And so that's a long time, and I needed quite a few years of healing from that. And he, in between, when I was 26 and now, I had quite a few years of like just I don't even just like a pure bliss. Like I had quite a few years of where I wasn't experiencing anxiety, where I was thriving and just enjoying my life. And then within, recently, when I've been back in the dating field again and really trying to find a spouse, it's, kind of has come back in some ways where, but I feel like now that I've had those years under my belt of some healing that I've been able to tackle it. Whereas before I wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I want to also offer too is I think what I love how you say is just that like it takes time and it's okay for it to take time. It also is like there isn't one specific way that it happens, right? And so like I think sometimes it's easy to put pressure on it having to happen a certain way, and like the way it's unfolded for you has been beautiful. And also like, I think I can just hear people listening. They're like, oh my gosh, okay, I have to spend all these years and I have to break
I
this up.
know.
But like everyone's is so unique. And I think about my story and how it was like, honestly, like I got married pretty young and like I worked through it in the first few years of our marriage. And so like, there just really isn't one right way to do it. And just ultimately is like, being able to believe and trust, like how, like exactly where you're at, of like the way it's unfolded for me is like how I needed it to happen, and not getting rigid and like this is the way it has to look.
Because we all know we're all like that. We're all trying to find the formula. Us anxious
Yes.
people, anxious minds, we want to know the formula. We want to make sure we fit the mold. And I've
Yeah.
been, on the other end of these podcasts listening, and I've been the one that's like, oh, my story doesn't sound like hers. Oh no. I've been there, but it is, it's so true. Everyone's is completely different.
So tell everyone a little bit about I sharing how your perspective on love, relationships, communication, like how that has kind of shifted is over the process of us working together as well as just kind of on your journey as a whole.
Yes, I would say that's one of the most dramatic changes is my perspective on love and relationships and just the day in and day out Everyone says we have, a Disney view of love. It should be, blissful and euphoric and on cloud nine all the time. And I think for me, it took some time for this to get from my head to my heart. They say, that's the longest journey is the journey from a person's head to their heart. And
Oh, it's true.
it's so true. It's so true with everything that, in relationships especially. But I would say something that's helped me so much is just that, and what we've talked about this too in our coaching sessions, is like love ebbs and flows. And when you look at your life, life like ebbs and flows. Your job, you have, good days and bad days, and a lot of just in between days, or just your life in general. It's like some high highs once in a while, some low lows, and lots of just in between. And I like life's a pattern, and it would make sense that our relationships also fall into the same pattern of ebbs and flows. And I think once I really realized that and really learned that that was okay, that I started to ha experience less anxiety or was able to work through issues quicker. And the other thing that I've learned with, being an anxious person in a relationship is, say, when I experience a, we call them hiccups, like a little fight or whatever, a
Yeah, that's
disagreement,
always your word, hiccups.
hiccup. We don't want to say fight yet, but I'm sure we'll get there. For now, they're just hiccups because it makes us feel better.
Your fiance calls them hiccups too?
Yeah,
Oh my God,
he might have been the one that coined it, to be honest. So
that's awesome.
we have hiccups, but when we do have the, when we in the past when we had a hiccup, instead of me being able just to focus on whatever the hiccup was about, instead my anxious brain would be like, is this normal? Is this okay? Is this a red flag? And it blew it up to be this huge muddled mess in my head, and I couldn't see like my left from my right. And just learning that that was something my anxiety, when my it was my anxiety coming into play, and adding more on top of it, and just learning those things. And honestly, it was the coaching, that having an outside perspective, that really helped see different patterns and different ways that I was, handling things, I guess, that that's really helped me to be like, okay, put my anxiety aside. Let's just deal with that, whatever the hiccup was about. So
So really kind of twofold of the perspective on love and recognizing it doesn't always have to be this high and blissful feeling, and that it's okay for different emotions to be there.
yes.
Then also the being more gracious and kind to yourselves when there are those hard moments and there are hiccups and there are fights.
Yes.
You
Yes.
aren't so judgmental and hard on the relationship.
Yes. And something that I think you coined this with me in my coaching that just completely struck a chord with me was being lovingly curious and lovingly compassionate. Like those are the phrases I would say to myself lovingly when I would be in a hiccup or when I would be, having a lot of anxiety and a lot of doubts. It would be, how can I be lovingly curious towards whatever my, brain was thinking, both towards myself, towards him, towards our relationship, and how can I also be compassionate to myself and to him? And it was interesting when I finally realized that I wasn't doing that. And because I think I'm a compassionate, loving person, and I'm sure most of us are. Most people who struggle with anxiety, Steve, we're not to like toot our own horns, but we are like we're sweet, we're caring, we have big hearts,
To
we're
everyone
never hurt a fly,
else.
and so we're easy. It's easy for us to be like loving towards other people, but when it's on ourselves, we're so hard on ourselves. And when I had moments of being able to be compassionate towards myself with whatever I was feeling, I literally would feel my whole body just like sink into that feeling, and just it felt like it was starving for it. And so that's kind of when I knew I was onto something, is when, I could feel my actual body react to wow, I need this. I need to be, you know, soft and loving and just curious towards myself instead of frantically trying to fix it. That was another phrase I know we came up with, is the frantic fix it mode. That anxiety makes us all feel like we need to be in. And when I was able just to like shift it and not ignore it, but be curious, I could literally feel myself relax into that.
Yeah.
So much.
And I think so often the reason we get so afraid and like that frantic anxiety mode comes in. I actually want to do a podcast on this, but I feel like because a lot of times we're anxious, we are so unkind to ourselves. That inner critic voice is very loud. And so we like have this perfectionistic front of like, okay, let me get it all right. And let me make sure that I do it perfectly so that I don't beat myself up later, so that I'm not mean to myself. But once you start being kind to yourself and not beating yourself up, all of a sudden we don't have to frantically fix things or be perfectionistic, because we know, like, even if it doesn't turn out perfect, we're not going to be so mean to ourselves afterwards.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So would you mind speaking a little more to kind of the communication element and like what you notice, like maybe kind of some of the areas that you've like have been challenging for you there, and how you felt like you guys have grown and are continuing to work on that aspect of your relationship?
Yes, this is something we will continue to probably work on for the rest of our lives. And I've learned that's okay.
Yes.
yes. And I think before I jump into that, so much of like the feeling, the anxiety that I would experience would be, is this normal? Is this okay?
Yes.
And that's what I could feel, you know, that's what my fear brain was asking. Like, that was, you know, underneath all of the questions, whether it's, you know, whatever your situation might be that's causing anxiety in your relationship. He's too outgoing, I'm too this, or he's not enough of this, and it's not, you know, whatever it might be, underneath it all is the question, is this okay? Is this normal?
Uh-huh. You know?
And so I know one of the hiccups or one of the causes of a lot of relationship anxiety for me was our communication styles. And me being the typical female, I want to talk through a problem or discuss my feelings all the time. And he's more of a processor. And that was brand new to me for some reason. I have a dad and brothers, but there's just something when I don't look at my dad and my brothers through the same lens as I'm looking at my fiance. It's just a whole different level of how you view them. And so what I let
just
slide,
so much more like critical, right? Like our family members where we're like, okay, yeah, that's just how they are. Versus like,
exactly.
I think we're choosing our partner. We're like, this person's representing me.
Yes.
And we use that same like critical lens on ourselves directly on them.
Yes. Right? Yes. I let so much slide that I don't even realize with just, you know, friends or my brothers or my dad, so much I let slide, but with him, it was very hyper-focused. And, it was just a lot of it was just talking, like finding trusted people that I could talk to. It was, you know, you, Mikkel, it was a close friend. It was maybe my mom every now and then. And just about, communication and how we may it we're different, but that doesn't mean it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
or that doesn't mean it's, you know, not meant to be. And I think that was a big turning point. And I think the other thing about being an anxious person is I think we have all the normal feelings that other people do, maybe who are not on the anxious spectrum, but we just feel at times 100. And so you know, whereas other people maybe could let things slide and be like, oh, you know what? That's interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. For us, it like, it almost takes over your whole body and it's hard for you to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just bringing like awareness and just knowledge to the fact that that's what you do, that you can start to see patterns and it's just helpful, you know, for your whole relationship.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So looking at that pattern. And I love how you pointed out too, is like that recognizing what's underneath it, which is that like, okay, is this normal? Is this
Yeah.
okay? Is my experience valid?
Yes.
Which a lot of times we may not recognize, but I think that can be like a shame talking because shame says like, I'm not good enough, something's wrong with me. And so we like try to make sure we're normal and we're okay and we are good enough. So I love that you share that. And also I just, to normalize for people like that having different communication styles is okay.
Yes, it really is. And it's not about, it's not about finding this perfect person that doesn't bring up, the difficult feelings in you. That's, and being, I don't know, being a Christian, I believe that God intended marriage to be something that makes us holy, not happy, but holy. And
I love that.
I heard that years and years ago and it stuck with me. And one of the best things we can do is learn how to be selfless and patient and gracious and forbearing with each other. And he doesn't want us to just be in our happy hole for the rest of our lives, that we're not going to grow. And so I truly believe that's, a huge part of marriage is for growth. And that means you're going to be, bumping up into each other and going to have difficult times and difficult conversations.
Yeah, not for happiness, but holiness. Oh,
Yes.
so good.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think when you can have that perspective on it, then it's like, okay, well, what is part of making us holy? And it is that making room for challenges and growth and like, and not always being easy all the time. Like, I do believe marriage is of God, and not because it's the thing that's just gonna just automatically make our life easy and happy, but because like our relationships are mirrors and they bring up and let us see like parts of ourselves that like a lot of times we don't want to see. And that's why it can be so easy to run away from relationships, right? Versus you taking it and using it as an invitation to refine yourself and grow as challenges come up.
Yes, for sure.
Do you have anything on a faith note that you want to share at all? As you talked about God, and just curious if you have any thoughts on God and RCD that you want to share at all?
Back when I was just beginning to experience anxiety and like when I was 19, 20, 21, it really did draw me closer to God. I felt like I was kind of going through the desert and he kept me close to him during that time. And I'll probably never know the full extent of what I learned and what he, protected me from or whatever it may be. But I know with Mikkel, and I'm sure there's maybe people who relate to this, but when I first started dating my fiance, I went quite a few months where I was scared to pray about it.
Yeah.
And I know this is a common thing where I was scared to pray about it, whether it was I didn't want to know what the answer was, or I felt like God would take him away, or whatever it may be. But I remember there was a very pivotal moment with Mikkel, with coaching, one of our coaching sessions, where something had clicked, and I told Mikkel, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm praying about us every day, or as much as I can. I'm really not afraid anymore. And I felt like that was such a turning point where we had worked through my fear. I was learning to be compassionate with myself, that I in turn could feel like, God's not up there with a hammer saying, you're doing it all wrong,
Yeah.
So it was definitely a pivotal moment when I felt like I could finally like open hands, give it to God and not fear that everything I did up to that point was wrong,
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. I love that. I think with OCD and ROCD coming up, it can be like, it really can be a redefining point in our relationship with God. And sometimes it can be that, like, whoa, I'm stepping back because I'm afraid. And I think, like, honestly, it highlights a lot of times some of the false beliefs in the fear that we have kind of been either conditioned or learned to have around God.
Yeah.
And when OCD comes up and it really gets intense, that can be one of the beautiful things about it, is I think it can help us just like redefine that relationship with God in the most beautiful way. Because like for many of us, I think we've lived a lot of our lives with that fear around Him. And then now all of a sudden it's like, okay, this isn't working.
Right.
And it gives us that chance to actually like explore as you work through that fear, like who God really is, and to create that connection with Him on a foundation of love rather than maybe the fear-based relationship we've had with Him.
Yes. Yes. And I, you know, truly believe, like looking through the pattern of my life and my anxieties and how they've, the themes they've taken. And I truly believe that deep, deep, deep down, it was a God issue, if I can say. Like, it was, I don't know if you've ever read Anne Voskamp, but she has a book. I'm looking at it right now, actually. It's called a 1000 Gifts. And I read that book when I was like, oh, I don't know, 23 or 24, in the thick of anxiety, barely functioning, like pretty bad. And she put into words how I was feeling in my soul. And it was, how can I trust God that nothing bad is going to happen to my life? And so I'd have all these crazy fears, like, what if that happens to me? Or what if I do that? Or what if I do this? And it was all coming back to, well, who is God? And what does He promise me? And again, that might not be the extent of the ROCD you're experiencing, but for me, and this is, you know, over almost two decades now of having on and off, you know, times of anxiety, that I've come to see that it's a pattern and there really was something deeper at work.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to ask you about is like, I just thinking about, I told this before we started recording, but like, I just like, it's so cool to like talk to you and just like see the confidence and like grace you have in yourself. And like, I have like little moments of like remembering when we first started like talking together, and I'm just like, is this the same woman? Like, it just is, it, I don't know. It's just so cool to see that within you. And so I think if you could kind of share a little bit, and I know we've kind of talked about coaching, but I guess maybe just kind of like what your experience was and kind of like maybe just some of the biggest changes you've seen like within you.
Sure. Yeah. So no, yeah, happily, I'll happily share that. I was just thinking back to when I first started. I remember I was so nervous at our first session. I was so nervous, but I'm so glad I jumped into coaching. It took some convincing. I know we shared a lot of emails back and forth before I jumped right in, but
we just have to say, cause like our brains don't just like doubt our relationship. It's like every choice we make. It's like,
yes, very true. It's very true. I think, I mean, coaching was pivotal for me. You know, as far as healing and just awareness and education. And I truly think, and I think I've even shared this with you, Mikkel, is like 50% of healing is just having someone to talk to about it and just getting it out of your head.
Yes.
And I literally, I think 50% of my healing just came through talk therapy, almost like talking with you and telling you thoughts on my head that I've never told anyone else. Or I would tell you the thoughts and I would instantly get like, you know, was that okay what I just said? And you could sense it. You could sense that I was, you know, wow, I can't believe I just said that thought. And so much of it was just, you know, finding the words and speaking them out loud to someone you trust, and not only someone you trust, because I know, you know, when we first started, we were strangers, but I knew you had, like, it's not just that I trusted you, but that you have all the experience, you've been through it yourself. And that was what made me trust you, is knowing you've been through the fire too. You've been through this, that I'm not, it's not just, you know, a stranger. But that was huge for me, is being able to do that. And I felt like I looked forward to our sessions every week. It was such a highlight of my week. There'd be times during the week when I would have something come up and I'd be like, well, can't wait to talk to Mikkel about that on Tuesday or whatever day it was on Tuesday, or I need to talk to Mikkel about this. And after every session, I would feel so much peace. And we talked about all different topics and whatever I need to talk about that day or whatever lesson it was that day. But I just know after every session I felt so much peace. And it wasn't that you were always reassuring me. I think you did a really good balance of offering reassurance. Sometimes I wanted more, but you knew when to do it and when I didn't maybe need it as much as I thought I needed it. And I think, yeah, like what I said, so much healing comes in finding that trusted person that you can get those thoughts that seem so dark and scary. But once you say it, you realize, oh, that's not as bad as I thought. Or actually, that kind of sounds silly now that I put words to it actually kind of sounds silly. And having that outside perspective to give me a different perspective. Even as far as my fiance, the way he communicates and has to process things, like you provided an outside perspective that literally made a light bulb go up in my brain that I was like, I never thought of that. So sometimes we're so caught up and it's, black and white. It's either this way or that way that we don't realize that there can be multiple perspectives. So that was, yeah, life-changing for us, for my relationship.
And I love how you pointed out just like so much of it is the relationship. Like, I think there is a lot of healing work we can do on our own, but there is something about like being able to, like, what I think can be so unique about coaching or working with someone is it's a space for you to be seen and be loved in a way that maybe like these different parts of you haven't experienced before. And like that is healing.
Yes. 100%. And when you say that, seen and loved, like that's how I felt. Here's this woman, we talk to, and she 100% can understand what I'm going through. And just being able to pour out whatever I needed to that week. And the things that you don't talk about, the things you're scared to talk to with other people, and just a safe space to just pour it out. And it was great.
How would you say, like, how are you different now? Like, I think we could have been like touching on this throughout the podcast, but like, what do you feel like are the biggest changes like you see within yourself?
I think I'm, we just finished coaching, I think a month ago, right? Something like that. So I feel like I'm still seeing the fruits. Obviously, still things to work on and things like that. But I think overall,
Always,
I'm,
we're always
yes,
problems.
always, always. Overall, I would say I don't feel as fearful of myself anymore. Fearful of my thoughts, fearful of my anxieties. I can express things easier. I feel a little bit more like I'm full of life. Like I feel a little bit more like I'm not hiding. I'm not scared. I'm much easier to, if something's concerned, some I'm just a little bit more open. Not as worried, not as fearful that something's wrong. And for whatever reason, we people like us struggle with always feeling like there's something wrong,
Yes.
something wrong, and that's the shame voice.
Yes.
And but just through, yeah, through our coaching, through our sessions, through it's so it was. And another light bulb moment I remember having when, during the months that we were coached, what I was being coached was, is I need to learn how to change my reaction to the thoughts that scare me. So I'm not changing my thoughts. Like it's not, I'm not getting rid of thoughts and telling them they can't be there, but it's my reaction to them. And it was learning like how to change my reaction to the thoughts that scare me.
Yes.
And that was, I think, what we learned and what you taught me, and you taught me so many different skills of how to do that. And, you know, whether it's in body exercises and different things like that. But that was, it was huge for me, as learning I don't have to be scared of my thoughts.
What?
That was, yes. And I didn't realize you are, but I was scared of my own thoughts. And when you have, you know, control over how you react to your thoughts, you feel this power and that comes over you. And I know there were moments, you know, with you when I literally would have this epiphany and I could see this other woman, right? I think that's what we yes. called her. This woman that you know, I'm working towards, and what she is like. Yes. Yes. And what she is like, and how she responds to, you know, challenges in her relationship. How would she respond? I could start to visualize her. Mm-hmm. And whereas before I never could, but I could start to see this new woman forming and see glimpses of her, who I maybe could be, or I could, you know, start becoming as I start, you know, practicing my skills more and more.
Yes. And I think that's such a powerful tool for people who are listening, is to think about that, like, future version of you. Who are you working towards becoming? Mm-hmm. I think we can get so tunnel vision on the fear and what we don't like, or like where we've been, but like opening yourself up to like, who could I become? And like believing that future version of you is possible and available to you.
Yes.
Okay. Any last like thoughts, pieces of advice, like something you'd share to someone who's just in it right now and needs hope or encouragement?
Yeah. I mean, I like get emotional just thinking about this, because I've been there. Like, I've been in this pit of anxiety. I know what it's like 100%, and it's not fun, and it's really hard, and it's really difficult. And so my heart goes out to you, and I wish I could hug you all, and, you know, but I would say, you know, is reach out for help when you can, when, you know, when the timing is right. Like, find that trusted person, whether it's Mikkel or, you know, somebody else. But there's so much healing that comes when you share the thoughts that scare you, when you actually put them, you know, to words. There's so much healing. And I know it can be scary, but I have felt it and felt the healing in my life when I've done that. So, and there's so many more resources out there today. You know, I think I found Mikkel through Instagram. I don't, you know, through just typing in ROCD or something. There's so many wonderful resources out there today. So, well, you know, and then when the timing is right for you personally, you know, to reach out and get the support you need. And I guess I remember when I was going through the thick of it, you know, there would be times where I would tell my mom bits and pieces of my anxiety. And this was like years ago. And I just remember her telling me, like, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And just like what relief washed over me. And I can tell you, like, being on, you know, getting on the other side of it all is, you will be okay. You think this is permanent. You think this is forever, but it's really not. You will, like, this is like, it's like growing pains. And
yes,
that's really what it is. It's you're in a time frame of your life, and it's just a growing pain where you're getting from one stage to the next. And you just have a lot of things to learn. And there's a lot of lies that you need to get rid of, like, whether it's how you view relationships or how you view God, whatever it may be. There's things that need to be shed. And it's painful, but it's not forever. And just that, I, you know, if you are faithful, if you are Christian and in general, but just that God, you know, definitely has a plan, and he won't waste pain in your life. He won't waste it. So he knows what you're going through. He sees it. He will bring people next to you to support you through it. And he maybe one day will use it for others, because that's what we all need. So
That's just what I was thinking as you were talking. Thank you for sharing that. It's just you, like your sweet spirit that you have and the love that you have for other people, and like just how this experience, like, you know, in this moment you're able to use to like offer light and hope for other people, and like and who knows, like, because of this work that you've done, like how it's going to impact your marriage and your children, like other lives around you, for good, just the light that you have. So thank you for coming on and like sharing your story with everyone. I feel like people will really benefit from it. So thank you.
Thanks, Mikal. I'm grateful and humbled to be here. So.
All right. Good to talk with you. Bye.
You too. Bye.